Today's the day, the 6th District in Georgia. The election between Karen Handel, former Secretary of State, and John Ossoff, Democratic hopeful. He had actually won the election, or the first election, but did not win the 50% necessary to avoid a runoff. So today is the runoff, and there's a lot of money involved, and we want to track that.
Show me the money! I need to feel you, Jerry! Show me the money! Jerry, you better yell! Show me the money!
Sorry, I couldn't help it. A little cheap there. Cheap tricks. Michael Beckel is joining us. Michael's manager of research, investigations, and policy analysis at Issue One. And he tweets at MJ Beckel. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And he looks just like Tom Cruise. All right, so let's talk about this. This is now being billed as the most expensive House race in the history of this country. That's a lot of money. How much is there?
It's an astronomical amount of money. We're talking $60 million for the total price tag. That's money that's been raised by the candidates and super PACs and the political parties and other politically active dark money groups. This is just a huge sum of money. $60 million basically doubles the previous record that had been set in a House race in 2012.
Does this include money spent in the first election as well as this runoff, or just in the runoff?
That's both phases.
Both. Okay.
Yep.
What has the pace been like since the original race? I mean, we had heard that the Democrats had spent a ton of money, maybe less from the Republicans, but has it picked up? Has it slowed down? What's been the pace of spending?
It has. Both sides have really accelerated their spending since that April primary, where we had a jungle primary, 18 candidates, a lot of money, a lot of noise. And once this race narrowed to a two-candidate race between Democrat John Ossoff and Republican Karen Handel, both sides really accelerated their spending. We've seen that money grow and grow and grow to the point where it's now reached $60 million. John Ossoff's campaign alone has raised about $24 million. That final figure won't be known until after Election Day when the final campaign finance reports are filed. But he basically outraised Karen Handel by a 5-to-1 margin. Her side has been aided, though, by outside groups, the NRCC, conservative super PACs, groups like the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, coming in and spending money. And conservative outside groups have outspent liberal ones by about 2.5-to-1. So we're talking tens of millions of dollars flowing in, mostly from outside the state of Georgia, because this has become a proxy for both the national Democrats and national Republicans as a mood for the country.
45%, as you note in your piece, has been spent by outside groups. So what are they spending the money on? Is it mostly TV? What are they spending it on?
It's mostly TV, and it's mostly attack ads, according to Issue One's analysis.
Must be fun to watch TV in Georgia right now.
I do not envy the viewers on any channel right now. You are seeing attack ad after attack ad. About 80% of the money that outside groups have spent has been on negative ads. It's just an extraordinary amount of money.
Give us a sense. You mentioned that John Ossoff had outraised Karen Handel by quite a bit, a multiple, indeed, of money. Is it big donations, small donations? Is it the max? How would you characterize the donors?
One of the things that's been very striking about the way John Ossoff has been raising money is that it's largely coming from small dollar donors. He's raised about 2/3 of his campaign war chest from people who are giving $200 or less. That's on par with candidates like Bernie Sanders. Most House candidates are really excited if they're raising 10 or 20 or 30% of their money from small dollar donations. And Karen Handel has raised about 1/3 of her money from small dollar donations. John Ossoff, however, has doubled that to that 2/3 percent. There's a large grassroots energy behind him, and donors, liberal, democratic donors, progressive donors from across the country are really trying to make a stand in Georgia and have flooded his campaign with money. He's raised, like I said, about $24 million, which is on pace with something that the Speaker of the House usually raises. A first-time congressional candidate doesn't typically raise this kind of money.
Michael, give us a sense, since this is a groundbreaker. I mean, this is a precedent-setting election, but I wonder, does this bode anything for the midterms, the 2018, some of the contested races coming ahead? Because today, we also have a race in South Carolina for Mick Mulvaney's old seat, and there's hardly a whisper about that. So it obviously doesn't apply to every district, but one wonders if these competitive districts are up there. Where is this money going to go? I mean, this was the now, but is there a lot of money waiting to be spent out there? Do you get a sense of? Or
I mean, Democrats are certainly hopeful that they will be able to replicate this kind of energy in other races with a few dozen House seats being enough to flip control of the House in November. We've got a lot of Senate races that will be very high profile. And right now, the Georgia House race is basically the biggest game in town. Mm-hmm. It's almost the only game in town. And so there's been a lot of money and attention flown into that race. And fast forward, you know, a few hundred days from now, there will be a lot of other House Democrats who are trying to channel that same energy, channel that same grassroots enthusiasm to say, if you keep giving us the resources we need, we might be able to flip the House, or we might be able to preserve, you know, this number of seats in the Senate.
Michael Beckel with us. He's manager of research, investigations, and policy analysis at Issue One. And we're talking about the race in Georgia today and maybe what it means going down the road. I'm kind of curious if you've been looking at how this money is raised. In other words, is John Ossoff, does he have a really strong web presence? Is it direct appeals to people? Because I still get text messages from Bernie Sanders people telling me about events that are happening. I signed up just to pay attention, not to go to these things. But I'm still getting a lot of these from fundraisers from the 2016 election. And I'm wondering, is that how he's raising the money? Is it direct outreach to individuals? How are they picking up these small donors?
One of the valuable things about having a large, small donor, grassroots donor base, is that you can reach out to these people repeatedly. And so you can ask them for $5 or $10 or $20. And you can do that a number of times over the course of the campaign. That's something that Barack Obama did. That's something that Bernie Sanders did. That's something that Ron Paul did. You know, there are Democrats and Republicans alike who are trying to mobilize these people because they haven't hit that legal maximum mm-hmm. of $2,700. And so they can keep giving and giving and giving. And as the race gets closer, as the race gets more exciting, they might be motivated to give, and the campaign gets a infusion of money. And so these are people that have largely been giving online through places like Act Blue or MoveOn.org. Daily Coast has organized a lot of liberal online energy for John Ossoff's campaign. But at the end of the day, these are donors that the campaign can go back to over and over and over again versus holding an event, a fundraising event, where people are writing those $2,700 checks and then not able to be going back to again.
Have you seen a similar effort on the Republican side, like the Daily Kosas or some of the other more conservative websites? What's that effort been like?
Well, certainly Karen Handel has also benefited from this being a nationalized race. About a third of the money that she's raised has come from grassroots donors, those small dollar donors giving $200 or less. But she's also benefited from events, fundraising events with high profile people in Georgia, like Vice President Mike Pence, being able to say, we're going to hold a big fundraiser, we're going to have people in the business community come write a big check. So she's had a lot more donors who have hit that $2,700 max, which shows a pretty stark contrast between their two fundraising approaches.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's raised about $5 million and has really had to rely on this outside cavalry to come in and try to narrow that gap.
I know that you mentioned Mike Pence, the vice president, who has been pretty effective for her, and I wonder, are there other big guns? I know that on John Ossoff's side, he had a lot of celebrity appeal. There were some people, I'm not sure if anyone has proven to be an especially effective fundraiser for him, either through events or through just even outreach online.
Well, I think the celebrities that we've seen have sometimes cut checks but not necessarily hit the campaign trail with mm-hmm. him, I think, at this stage of the game. Both candidates are trying to talk about Georgia and the Georgia Six as much as possible.
So they don't want to be the interloper, the carpetbaggers, the people coming in and tell us how to run our business in the district. That's
yeah, it's a nationalized moment. So mm-hmm. both campaigns are benefiting from money and energy outside of their district, but at the end of the day, they're trying to pitch themselves as the best person to represent these specific voters in Georgia.
It's not directly related to this, but I'm kind of curious, and I've sort of lost track. Did Bernie Sanders turn over his donor list to the Democratic National Committee or not? I don't know.
I can't recall off the top of my head. Okay. I know that they often enter into arrangements, so they do fundraising appeals for different candidates.
He was supposedly going to help out with that, but I just don't know if I've seen that. I was just kind of curious because obviously that would be useful. Although in this district, John Ossoff is trying to run more toward the center by most accounts, and so it may be a little bit more difficult to appeal to that sort of Bernie Sanders acolyte, but we'll see how it turns out. So at the end of the day, we're talking $60 million spent on this election, which will amount to, I haven't done the math yet, but even on the basis of constituencies, we're talking about, you know, like $100 or $1,000 per person practically in the district.
Yeah, it could be $100 or $200 per vote. I mean,
yeah.
this has morphed into the most expensive House race in U.S. history.
Oh, man. And we won't know until when will we find out actually where the money was, because they have to file reports, but they're not due until well after the election.
Yeah, right? All the super PACs, all the politically active groups that have been spending money on ads have to file rolling reports with the Federal Election Commission. So we've been able to track that outside groups have spent about $27 million, including $19 million just during the runoff phase of the election. And the candidates told us how much money they raised through the end of May and had to report any big donations they received in these final hours. But it'll be a couple weeks after Election Day before we get that final number nailed down.
And just out of curiosity, has there been anything that's been groundbreaking aside from just the sheer tonnage of money invested in this? I mean, anyone using new techniques, or is it just the same old politics? A lot of TV, a lot of handshaking, and a lot of money.
A lot of money means you can do a lot of things. So you can run TV ads, you can run radio ads, you can run canvassing operations on the scale of a presidential campaign. I mean, the Ossoff campaign has enough resources that they've been able to experiment with a lot of different things. But at the end of the day, they're trying to win a very small sliver of votes, and we will know soon whether that was successful or not.
Big ground game. You can knock on a lot of doors when you got the money to pay for the gas to do it.
Exactly.
Michael, always a pleasure. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Michael Beckel joining us. Michael, Manager of Research, Investigations, and Public and Policy Analysis at Issue One, joining us and tweeting at MJ Beckel.